take your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. We've been in the book of Genesis for a long time. It seems like we started in chapter 2 and 3 and talked about creation, chapter 6 through 10, about the flood. Then in Genesis 12, we got to Abraham, and then we realized Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had his name turned to Israel through the wrestling of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. And then Israel has 12 sons, one of which was named Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery, and God had a plan for that because all the world would have a great famine for 7 years. And so through God's plan and God's power, Joseph was able to save the world, basically, and the tribe of Israel. So all of his family moved to Egypt during that time to the land of Goshen. They were provided for. And then they just started life. And so the idea, they lived and lived and lived for about 400 years, not each person, but through generation after generation after generation. And you're going to find in that time that Egypt forgot Joseph and forgot his kindness and his goodness and how that he was the hero of the story. And they turned against Israel. And so Egypt put them under bondage. We find that they punished them. They were afraid that if a war broke out, that the Israelites would fight against Egypt. Then when that didn't work, they started casting their, they told the midwives to get rid of all the male children during childbirth. Well, the midwives didn't do that. And then we find that lastly, they were commanded every Israelite to throw their firstborn son into the river, or every male child actually. And so we're going to find in Exodus chapter 2 that it opens up with that story. And so I just wanted you to be aware that it's all kind of connected. And through all that, God got them through tough times and hard times and brought them to a point where he will now deliver them again. And we can rest in that same idea. So notice Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. There was a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you would just help us in the times of our need, that you would rise up and help us to understand the calling we have in our life, and that you've always called us to do things to honor you and to cause others to know you. As Moses did, help us to do the same. And so, Lord, today I pray for conviction, for guidance, for understanding, Lord, for the courage to simply act upon what you've laid on our hearts. So help us to do that today. Help us to see us in this story and how you've called us. So bless the reading of your word, and thank you for the promise that when your word is read, you'll not come back void. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. One of my favorite stories is a man that lived pretty close to the cemetery, and he would often leave work walking and just cut through the cemetery and go to his house. Well, what he didn't realize one night when he was walking home from work, that they had dug a freshly dug grave right in his pathway. He gets to that spot and falls in. He is clawing and digging for about an hour, realizes, "I'm not going to make it out." So he just sits down, waits for the morning to come. He says, I'll be able to get some help in the morning time. Well, he's sitting there, and another man falls in. He is digging and clawing his way out. The first man grabs him by the leg and says, "You can't get out," but he did. I like motivation, amen? Sometimes in life, it takes a little bit to motivate us to do what we need to do. And I think we're going to find in Moses' life, he needed some motivation, that he needed a little push, a little kickstart, which we'll get to. And I just want you to recognize that God uses different things in our life to cause us to do great things for him. And once we recognize that and understand that God's got a plan for us, then we can start doing what God's called us to do. Now, notice the first thing I want you to see in this passage. There's the rise of Moses, the rise of Moses. I've already mentioned that through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes and how they got to Egypt, it was not a good time. There's lots of things going on. And so the Egyptians trying to save themselves from this great mass of people, which had become millions by this time, they were trying to kill their firstborn, the male children, because they knew that could be the army that defeats Egypt when another army may come and invade them. And so they were doing things that were not good. They were trying to kill all the male children at birth. And so notice this, Moses and his miraculous beginning. Moses and his miraculous beginning. When you read verse 3, you recognize that this child could no longer be hid. And so we know the children grow and they make noise, and that is a great thing. And so Moses' life begins in circumstances that were not good. It is a sad thought knowing that the government of Egypt was against those that had no ability to save themselves. And so it was a time when they were killing all the baby boys. And so we know Moses' mother, if you read Exodus chapter 6, her name is Jochebed. Jochebed recognized that I've got a special child here. By the way, every mother sees their child as special, which is good. And so she puts him in a little basket, a little ark, we'll call it, and daubed it with slime and pitch and placed it on the very edge of the river. And we find in verse 5 that Pharaoh's daughter came by to wash herself, as she would probably do every morning to take a bath. And she sees this little basket. And so you read verse 7 says, verse 5, 6, and 7, you recognize that she says, hey, let's get this child and do something with it. And so we recognize that God is lining things up. By verse 7 it says this, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Verse 8 says, and Pharaoh's daughter said, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Verse 9 says, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take the child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And so there's a great story here. Basically, she places by faith in this little child in the basket by the edge of the river. They come down and see this. And then we find that Pharaoh's daughter had great compassion and says, call that child's mother, and I'm going to not only save the child, but pay the mother to take care of it before it comes back. And so I'm reminded that this was not a lucky break. This was not a by chance happenstance. This was not something that just happened to be. This was the divine plan of God. And I want you to recognize today that we should live by that. That is my life story. I recognize in my life how God supernaturally takes the things that are not good and somehow makes them good. That somehow God takes the things that would destroy me, and yet God makes them work out. And so we find the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 28. You got to write this verse down. It ought to be a life verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I try to use that in a sermon somehow, some way, almost every time, because that is the truth, that God takes the things that are not right in our eyes and makes them right in his. You may live in a broken home and you can't understand why. God has a way of changing that around. You may have experienced some tragedy lately. God has a way of overcoming those things. I can tell you, it was not God's will for those Hebrew boys to be killed. That was a fallen world causing that. But God had a plan to deliver them. And so we go from Moses and his miraculous beginning to Moses and his messed up life. Moses and his messed up life. Moses will not live as the people of God. He will live as an Egyptian. When you read verse 10, again, the child grew. She brought him to Moses, Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now, we know that Moses did not grow up as a believer in the Lord. He grew up as a believer in some other false god. Matter of fact, how did I know that, you may ask? Acts chapter 7 gives commentary on this. It says in Acts 7:22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. He was raised up in the way of the Egyptians. And that culture was to serve many gods. They served the sun god, the river god, the crocodile god, all these different things. The culture had taught him to worship false gods. The culture had taught him to serve other things. The culture had taught him to indulge in everything. Sounds like our culture today. So the reason I'm telling you this, because sometimes we recognize that we are a messed up people. And you may be here today serving yourself. You may be looking for popularity. You may be indulging in fornication. You may be in with alcohol and drugs that have ruined your life, you think. But take heart, as God had a plan for Moses, God has a plan for us. And so we recognize that God was fixing to change all that in a matter of time. Yes, it's going to take some time, but God's going to use him in a powerful way. And so again, Moses and his miraculous beginning, Moses and his messed up life, but thirdly, Moses and his moving by the Lord. Verse 11 says, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, looked upon their burdens, and spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Now again, we recognize that God lays this on his heart to go and see. There is something that happened. Remember, he was not raised as a Hebrew, but as an Egyptian. But something was stirring him. And again, we go back to the book of Acts chapter 7. And it says this in verse 23. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptians. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood it not. And so he recognized God was urging him to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt. Moses is stirred by the Lord to leave the palace and visit the plains to help his people. And so I'm telling you, we need to recognize that Moses is in the right place, the right time to see the suffering, and he's compelled to action. And so should we recognize that God is moving us to do something for him. He's always pushing us to accept him. John chapter 12, verse 32 says, and if I be lifted up, this is about Jesus speaking, will draw all men unto me. I'm telling you, God pushes us and encourages us and pulls us to simply understand who he is and to follow him. But also, the Lord has a way of pushing us to serve him as well. Moses had this great moving and recognized God was doing something. I wonder, will you recognize the same in your life and follow through? Well, it doesn't end well there, because notice the fourth thing, Moses and his mistakes. Moses and his mistakes. Notice in verse 12 says, and he looked this way and that way. When he saw that there's no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And so Moses, again, feels like he's a deliverer. He sees the two guys fighting, an Egyptian with an Israelite, and decides, I'm going to take care of this. And he looks around and makes sure no one's watching. That's your first clue that you ought not to do what you're doing if you have to worry about what others are watching. Anyway, it's the idea of self-reliance. Evidently, Moses knew the Lord was calling him. I don't know if he was thinking, I'm just going to deliver the people by one Egyptian at a time. I don't know the issue, but the issue is this. As he looked around, he failed to look up. He looked this way, he looked this way, but he did not look that way. And let me encourage you in your life. You may be looking around thinking, what do I need to do next? Simply look up. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. If you don't do it the Lord's way, you will make a mess in life. Let me say that again. If you don't do it the Lord's way, you will make a mess in life. His actions will bring fear rather than faith to those around him. Moses' actions brings fear, not faith. Because he did not do it the Lord's way. If you read verse 13 of chapter 2, says, and when he went out the second time, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee prince and judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely the thing is known. Can I say again, when you don't do it the Lord's way, when you follow your own way, it causes a big, big mess. Moses ended up causing both fear to the Israelites and to himself. And so let me just recognize that we should do it as God desires. So stop for a moment and ask yourself, am I doing it God's way? And that is, first, are you following him and his plan? I'm telling you, he is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, the Bible says. And he wants to know that we would trust him and accept him. And so today, before you move out of this place, recognize the Lord's calling on your life and follow and do it his way. Moses failed in that part, but God's going to turn some things around. But notice how it continues. Not just the rise of Moses, but now we have the running of Moses. The running of Moses. Moses' actions will cause him to run for his life. When you read verse 15, we find there's going to be Moses in his concealment. Moses is going to hide out. Moses in his concealment. Verse 15 says, "And when Pharaoh heard the thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by the well." First, we find that he runs from the hand of Pharaoh. I can just see all the wanted posters all over town. Moses, wanted for murder. Dead or alive, bring him in. And so we find that he is running for his life. But at the same time, because he had this call on his life by the power of God, he's not only running from Pharaoh, but he is running from the Lord himself. Some would argue that Moses just needs time in the wilderness to learn how to navigate and find water and shelter to be able to lead people, and that God's going to use this for a training exercise, which will be true in one sense. But he didn't need to know that. He needed simply to know the will of God. All he needed was the Lord. And I'm telling you today, in your life, it is easy to do things that maybe you shouldn't do, or there's some things maybe that didn't work out just right, and you want to run and hide and leave and not do as you should. I've seen people run from church. They have the call of service in their life, or a call of ministry, or the call from God to be in a particular place, and they run and hide, never to darken the doors maybe. I've also found a better place to hide than that is in the church itself, and you can find a pew and sit there and hide from the Lord just like that. I'm telling you today, God's calling, we should respond to him, not hiding out, but doing what God said. So we find Moses in a concealment. He's hiding out in the wilderness there, but also Moses in his contentment. He runs for his life, goes to the wilderness, to the land of Midian, and then we run again in verse 15. Now when Pharaoh heard the thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, dwelt in the land of Midian, and sat down by the well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters. They came and drew water, filled their troughs to water their father's flock, and the shepherd came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. Notice his heart still wants to help. His heart is still to deliver. He's just not sure how to do the right thing. And so by verse 21, we find that he is content to dwell in that land. He settles down, got a good job, married a wife, even a preacher's wife, amen. He seems to be complete, but really he's not. Do you know there's a difference between being complete and finished? Let me give you an example. You can know the difference between being complete and finished. You marry the right woman, you are complete. You marry the wrong woman, you are finished. Amen. And so we need to recognize, are we complete or finished in our walk with Christ? Are we doing as we should? Are we truly being faithful? Life was good at this point for Moses. He was content for 40 years. Acts chapter 7 again gives commentary, verse 29. Then fled Moses at this saying, was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when he was 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire. And so he's 40 years old when he flees from Egypt. He spends the next 40 years in the wilderness in Midian thinking life is great. I'm done with that place. I wonder, did he ever think back about his people? 40 years he was content to forget about his people. 40 years he simply stayed away from the will of God. 40 years he was content. Contentment can be good, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Let me just say that again. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul also said in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentment is good if you are exactly where the Lord wants you to be. Our problem is we're like Moses. We become satisfied with the things of the world instead of the things of God. Sometimes we get satisfied with just being in church. I've named the Lord. I've been baptized. I've found a pew, and I am content. I wonder today, are we truly living all we can for the Lord? Are we truly striving for him? Are we doing what God has called us to do? We are called to do so much more many times. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth this praise of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. So yes, Moses was content. The only problem is God was not. How about us? Are you content with life? Maybe in your marriage or your ministry or your prayer life. We can name all these different things. Sometimes we're content because we don't realize there's something so much better. Paul Powell said, we are content in making mud pies in the slums because we have never made sandcastles on the beach. Are we content with doing little, or are we willing to simply do God's will? Are you content in your spiritual walk? Moses was running, but running in the wrong direction. Moses was hiding, but he could not hide from God. Moses was content again, but God was not. The simple question again is, are you where God wants you to be? Moses was not. Well, notice the third thing, where the motivation comes in now. Not just the rise of Moses and the running of Moses, but now the revelation of Moses. The Lord has a way to get our attention. Surely he got Moses' attention. Notice first the path that was taken. When you get to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of the desert, and then came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And so he finds that he's taken his father-in-law's sheep, and that was his job. Now he was a shepherd. He takes them in and out, days wandering them around in the wilderness. In the backside of nowhere, guess what? God is going to show up. Sometimes God shows up in the least expected places, in the least expected times. Psalms 139:7 says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, just speaking about the lowest parts, behold, thou art there. If I take my wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. All I'm trying to say is, there is no place that you can go and cannot see and understand and feel the power of God. That God is in all places. No matter Moses was on the backside of the desert, God was still able to simply reach out to him. And can I tell you about your life? Even in a small town called Worthington Springs, in a place far from the rest of the world, it seems like at times, God is still able to rise up and cause us to do his will. And so we go from the place to the power that was demonstrated, Again, verse 2 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, while the bush is not burnt. So it's amazing when you think about Moses. I'm sure in his day he'd seen many fires. I'm sure he had built a campfire probably the day before. But we recognize in fires, what happens is if you don't put fuel in the fire, they quickly burn out. And so you add fuel, more sticks. But this fire did not burn. It was on that bush, and the bush was burning, but it did not go out. And so you begin to recognize there's something different about this fire. So why fire, you may ask? Fire has always been the symbol of God's Holy Spirit. It's been the fire that represents God's power and his purifying ability and even God's presence. We remember in Acts chapter 2 when the disciples began to experience the day of Pentecost. It says there in Acts chapter 2 verse 3, and there appeared in them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. All through Exodus, we find that fire is that great picture of God's presence here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. But then in Exodus chapter 14, verse 24, when they're fleeing from the Egyptians, as they're leaving the old land headed to the promised land, that God sends a great pillar of fire around them to protect them from the Egyptians. And then in Exodus chapter 19, there's a purifying fire right before he gives the word of God. It says in Exodus 19:18, and Mount Sinai was altogether a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And then at the very end of the book, we find God's presence by fire in Exodus 40. The last verse of the book, it says this in Exodus 40:38, for the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and a fire was on it by night. And so Moses sees the presence of God in that place. In the backside of nowhere, God shows up. Now, reminded, that's what the world needs to see. They need to see the burning fire in each of us. They need to see the fire of God in our lives. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let me say it a little different, like Jesus said it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That light is not us. The light is the fire of God. It is His Spirit in us. The world has seen many lighthouses, many churches. They have seen many religious people, but few righteous. They have seen many who regularly visit church, but few rooted in Christ. Many who profess, but few that possess. They need to see the fire of God in us. They need to see the light. Moses saw something different that day, and it got its attention. And so will the rest of the world when they see us as believers on fire for Him. But not just the fire, there's also the figure. Verse 2 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire. The angel of the Lord, the Christophany or the Theophany, it was the pre-incarnate Christ. And so again, let me just say just a few things before I move on. The Lord shows up in the least likely place and least likely time in our lives many times. God reveals in ways that we can relate to Him and follow His will. And just because you ran from the Lord in the past doesn't mean He's done with you. I'm telling you, my friends, if you're here today and gotten away from God like Moses did, if you've gotten far from God's will, God is calling you back. Why not trust Him this morning? Why not simply understand that He has a plan for you? Notice what He does for Moses. Not just the rise of Moses and the running of Moses and revelation to Moses, but now the recruitment of Moses. Exodus chapter 3, there's going to be the calling of Moses. Exodus 3, 4 says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Notice the reaching of the word by the Lord. God calls out, Moses, Moses. I wish I had wrote down about how many times. I know my mind is kind of slippery here, but so many people he calls. Samuel in 1 Samuel 3, he says, Samuel, Samuel. Acts chapter 9, he calls Saul, Saul, Saul. Genesis 22, verse 11, Abraham, Abraham. Genesis 46, 2, Jacob, Jacob. Time and time again, God calls to us. And let me tell you what he does. It's not just to say, hello, how are you today? I hope everything is wonderful in your life. God always calls one to wake us up from our death in one sense. He calls us for salvation. He calls us to respond to His good mercy and grace. Sometimes He calls us to warn us, and like we find in Luke chapter 10, when He deals with Martha about her misideas, He says, Martha, Martha, you're careful about many things. One thing is needful. Or in Luke chapter 22, when He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to sift you like sweet wheat. He calls to warn us. But He also calls us to be a witness, to do something for Him, to live for Him, to serve Him. The calling of Moses is what we need today. We need to hear our names because God is truly calling us. But it doesn't stop there. So we go from the calling of Moses to the charge of Moses. Verse 4 says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called him out in the midst of the bush, said, Moses, Moses. Notice, it's not going to just say, again, how are you doing? Notice verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off your shoes from your feet, for the place whereon you stand is a holy ground. Moses was called, but Moses had to do it on his terms, not his own. He had to do it on God's terms. And so he says, take off those shoes from off your feet. Why? The sandals were a picture of sin that needed to be removed. He'd walk behind sheep all day, and you can understand, just give you a vivid illustration. You ever seen a parade with horses in it? They always put the horses at the very end for a reason, amen? Moses followed sheep day by day by day, and his sandals were covered with what followed behind the sheep. It is a picture of filth that had to be removed. And so the idea is you cannot serve God on your own terms. We like to think today, well, God's calling, I'll just do what I want. I'll serve Him my way. I'll live like I want. But Moses was told to stop. I'm reminded of what Paul writes in Romans 13, 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. In Ephesians 5, 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So sad today, the problem with church, and I'm thankful for a church that believes in the Word of God and acts upon it, but the church overall in a nation is a, they think they can walk in the world and they come and sit and church and think all is well, and we cannot. So he sends a message to Moses. He's going to say, I want you to do something for me. He stopped him, and then he sends him. Verse 7 says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And I'm sure Moses says, that is great, Lord. I'm so glad. You go do that. And then verse 10 says, come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. What? You want me to do what? Pharaoh doesn't like me much, Lord. What you're doing is a death penalty. Lord, I cannot do this. And so here's what I want you to see. The Lord calls us to do the impossible. It is impossible by your strength, but not by His. We are called to fight. We're called to confront. We're called to deliver by the power of God. And I'm telling you, it will not be easy to begin with. We have to overcome our fears. But there will always be confrontation before there is deliverance. We must simply be willing to go and fight for what God desires for us to fight. So notice how this ends. Not just with His calling and not just with the charge, because you could preach on that for days. But now the comfort of Moses, the comfort of Moses. And Moses said this in verse 11. And Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth this people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said, who am I that I should do this? And the answer was really nobody. There's nothing special about you, Moses, except for this. I will be with you. And so today in your life, you may not think you can do what God's called you to do, but I'm telling you, you can if you'll trust Him. Where God guides, God provides. Verse 17 again says, and I have said, I will bring you up out of this affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites into the land flowing with milk and honey. I will bring you. I will accomplish this. And so I wonder today, will you trust in the Lord to do that? God had a plan for Moses. God has a plan for us. I'm reminded that we need to accept that plan. Isaiah 6:8 says, and I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Will you let fear this morning keep you from doing what the Lord desires? Will you let fear stop you from being what God wants you to be? Will you let fear keep you from being victorious in Christ Jesus? Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is He that does go with you, and He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I wonder, will you follow the Lord today? What's He calling you to do? I don't know. But I can tell you some things. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to trust Him. And then He wants you to serve Him. And if you're not doing those, why not today? You may think, well, I've done messed up. I'm too far gone. You were not. Moses, for 80 years, was simply out of touch with God before God used him in a great way. Let me close with a part of this song. It says, oh, how to grace a great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take it, seal it for the courts above. I hope that's a prayer today that you would say, Lord, I've wandered, maybe I've gotten away from you, I've done things maybe I shouldn't have done, but Lord, I need to come back. And Lord, I'm coming back to you. And God's made a promise, if you'll simply come, He'll take care of all the rest. God's got a great plan, if you'll simply say yes to that. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just for a moment. I don't know where you stand in the Lord. I can see from a distance what it looks like. All I know this is God has a plan. And I can say that to the day I die, that God has a plan for me and God has a plan for you. And God wants you to act upon that plan with all your heart, because when you do, not only are you delivered, but so many more around you. Why not act upon that today and do what God's calling? Just take that step of faith and allow Him to do as He does. He has said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He will bring you through. He will help you. By God's power, it will be so. God's calling. Hopefully we'll respond. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and direction. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that you would always be there for us. Thank you, Lord, for the plan that you have for us. Help us to take that fully in our hearts and live by that day by day. Help us, O Lord, in the invitation time to be fearless and full of courage to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.